This is Have a Word with Adam Rowe and Dan Nightingale.
So, episode one.
Yeah.
Officially episode one.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a long time coming. It's been my lifelong dream since, you know, the end of October.
Yeah.
To do a podcast with you.
And it's episode one, but it's actually episode 73, isn't it? Because we've done 72 pilots.
But, like, what I like about you is there's a load of comics who are like, yeah, we should definitely do this thing. Oh, that's a good idea. It's even before they've had the idea for the thing, we should do something. And then nothing ever happens. It never comes to fruition. I was like, Adam, because I'm doing my podcast, and I've got the radio pod like trundling along. I was like, God, the one I did with you was great fun. I was like, episode two, it was my favourite one. It's like, do you want to just do one?
And I've already got a hoodie made.
8 minutes later, Adam's like, right, lad, this is how you do it. I'm like, oh my God. I'm used to being the one who's like, right, I've had an idea and I'm going to crack on and like dragging people with me. In the end, I had to be like, Adam, you're just going to have to chill out, you know, because I've got a family Christmas planned. You're looking at me like, fucking the 25th is prime record time. You launch on Christmas, it's a present for the fans. I was like... So I'm glad that you've got that drive. Have you always been like that? Have you always been like just on it, like a fucking car bonnet?
No. So I think I get obsessed with things very easily.
Right.
So my missus hates this because I'm so.
Because it's not.
Because. No, because I was obsessed with it in the beginning, and then I got bored of it.
I mean, this is nothing against your beautiful girlfriend, but that's pretty much every relationship.
You're the best. Oh my God, you've changed everything. 6 months later, no, you put the fucking recycling out.
It's just the way of it, isn't it?
If you don't want to be in the room while I'm farting, fucking leave the room while I fart.
I pay for this room. This is my. I pay this half of the rent. This is my bit.
I actually had that argument with her a while back because she said I take up like more of the bed than her. Like I'm often on her side. I'm like, but I'm bigger than you, so shouldn't I get more of the bed?
I love it how petty.
I'm 16 stone. You're 9 stone.
Yeah.
So I should get 16/25 of this bed.
Great math. I love how you just did that math. That's phenomenal.
Did you realise all I did was add 9 and 16 together?
I got it. I got what you did. But I was massively impressed that's how your maths worked.
And she was like, no, it's mine and your bed. It's both of our bed. And I was like, well, I paid for all of it. So if we're doing that, you need to be on the floor.
No. As soon as you say that argument,
you've lost.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
The line, the middle, on our bed, there's like on the headboard, it's like a metal bit and there's a middle one. And there's been so many nights where, even though I'm half asleep, I'm measuring where my wife's fucking arm is compared to the middle bar. I'm like, you're over the line, mate. Like it's the Gaza Strip.
Like VAR reviewing an offside. Actually, your nipple's offside there, Laura. So.
No, mate, I've got big nips.
Roll them up. Get them on that side.
I think you just go bigger bed, don't you?
Well, we've already got a king size and we haven't really got the room for
a super king.
We do want one, though. The dream long term is a California king bed.
Right.
Which is essentially like 4 king size beds taped together. Yeah.
So basically the whole of a 2-bedroom flat as a mattress.
That's the dream. That's what I'm hoping the Patreon of this podcast long term pays for.
That's what we're doing. This is what we're doing the podcast for. Mattress money.
Yeah. Big mattress. I've just bought a new bed as well.
Have you?
The reason we've bought a new bed is because we bought a new mattress and Jade wanted a new bed to go with the new mattress.
It all sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
But the new mattress has been bought because at the minute, we've got a memory foam one and I'm living in a hole. But I move a lot of my sleep as well. So, like, 16 stone of me just sinks into this bed and creates, like, a grand canyon of a pit.
Your memory foam wants to forget. You're both like, what?
It fucking won't forget, though. It's an elephant of a bed. I'm literally in this hole, and then, like, I'll move in me sleep. But then as soon as you move in your sleep, The bed is still where it was when for the first 3 hours of sleep. So you're now just sleeping on like the side of a hill. The dog's falling off the bed. It's awful.
Jade once rolled over into it and got stuck for 4 hours. Like an upturned turtle. I'm in your memory groove.
And I thought you could just turn up to a bed store and be like, hey, lad, can I have that bed and that mattress? Go ahead. Do you want to follow me home? Right? And they were like, no, we've got to make the stuff, so it's going to be 4 weeks.
I know.
Are you fucking messing?
I think there should be an option with all of those furniture shops where you walk in and you go, I know you've had customers like pretend to live on it and sit on it for a bit. Can I just have that one?
Yeah.
Can you just, I would have took it as well. I've got an uncle with a tranny. Can we get...
Your eyes flashed at me like, Dan, where's this anecdote going? I was just talking about a transit van.
I thought you meant his wife.
Like, fucking hell, this went into gender way too quickly.
Just come back from Thailand. I've got an uncle who's been travelling.
And that's how long it took. 7 minutes and we're off the fucking rails.
We're already cancelled.
What did you mean about obsession though? Because we were talking about getting obsessed with stuff.
So my problem, according to Jade, is how impulsive I am. So if I've got an idea, I'll just run with it immediately. And at times I then get bored of it and don't do it. Like, for example, I've bought a load of like cameras and podcast equipment and I haven't started my podcast yet. I haven't finished my studio, but I've spent 1,200 quid on stuff.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I want to start stuff. And she's like, yeah, but shouldn't you wait until the room's finished first? And I'm like, nope, let's just buy the stuff now. And she hates that because she sees it as too impulsive. But it's why I sort of...
Yeah, but you told me months ago you were starting your own podcast.
Exactly.
So it's not
and it's still not here.
No, because I've done it, mate. As I sit in this little studio, when everyone... Because you were the first person that said, oh, I'm going to try and do a little studio and a podcast. I was like, right. And that's part of the reason that I came to you and went, well, let's do it together. Before you get yours done, I've done mine. Yeah. And I can't get enough people here to do the Hack Radio Pod. But like, I can't keep asking you to like just come and do mine. If we do this together, if we do Have a Word together, it's ours, isn't it? That's sound.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also, loads of comics have got in touch with me going, I'm thinking about doing a podcast in a studio with cameras. I was like, wicked, yeah. And at first I was like, oh, I can't believe it. Everyone's nicked my idea, which I've definitely nicked from America anyway. But it's not that. After a couple of months, I just chilled out because I was like, I've done it and I know how hard it is. It's not easy when you're a comic and you're trying to just get on with your normal career and not, you know, we're not tech geeks. We have to learn it. So it is hard to do it. I think that, if anything, it is sensible to just get it, because otherwise you're going to be...
Dan, fuck Jade.
I'm on your side. Just roll her over to her fucking inches of the bed.
Just done episode one, babe, and I've come back. And you know, according to Dan, you can fuck off. He said, I can spend $3,000 on a new camera today. I've already ordered it. I'm going to pick it up now.
He says I should just follow my dreams. And he says you should have your own fucking bed. So just a little queen in the corner.
A single. Just like a bunk bed. Are you back gigging yet since the new year?
Yeah, man. I'm back because I had a bit of time off in December when you were doing 14 gigs a day.
Yeah.
I had about a week and a half off because last year I had a pretty bad December run for the last sort of 10 days.
Yeah.
And I know, and like, I've been doing stand-up long enough to know which gigs are going to be bad at Christmas. If it's a Christmas works do and they're selling group tickets, it's going to be bad. But I just sort of sleptwalked into a really bad week. And I got to Christmas here, like, genuinely, like, fucked off with the industry that I love. So this year, I was like, I'm going to just duck and dive a little bit. But what that meant, and I achieved it. On Mad Friday, you know, everyone's like, oh, my God. The internet, if you know a lot of comedians, on the last Friday before Christmas is so annoying. It's like, good luck, everyone, brave soldiers of comedy. Go out there. God bless. Fingers crossed.
They're like, Afghanistan, they're in the comedy loft in Birmingham.
Also, you booked it in, you fucking bell end. Like, oh God, I can't believe that the Chucklefuck Hut in Swindon was rough tonight. I was like, I can, it's a shit pit.
Normally a good gig, that, as well.
Yeah, the Chucklefuck Hut.
I don't know. You get a good weekend in there in March, and I'm telling you right now,
have you ever done a preview? But I just know sympathy with people go, oh my God, I had to do my jokes and people weren't listening. But you picked the worst night of the year. I did it.
Yeah, but you're on time and a half
yeah.
to do half the time.
But you don't have to do it. Like, no. I did an art centre in Kettering. It was almost like they didn't know it was Christmas. I got there and they were like, "Hey, you're right." There's like 45 people, 50 people in. They were dead nice. I had a little walk around Kettering and I got there, just got a bit of fresh air. I was like, "Guys, do you know what day it is?" It was honestly the nicest gig you can imagine for that time of year.
Yeah.
And that's why I've got no time for people going, but what happened, as soon as Christmas happened, I was like, now it's got to be back to gigging, because a lot of comics take time off after Christmas and into the new year.
It's not normally voluntary, I thought.
No, that's true, but this is the time of year I want to gig, because last few gigs I've done this last week, it's just been nice people out.
Just for a bit of context for any like non-comics listening, like the December month is rough because it's just work parties. And what you got to imagine is, let's say there's 30 people in your office and 10 of you love live comedy. Well, 20 just want the free fucking bar that the boss is paying for, and it's just a nightmare. But then, so I did the same comedy club the whole month, Hot Water in Liverpool. That, as soon as Christmas has gone, that gap between Christmas and New Year was just like, that was like doing the best gigs you can imagine. Everyone's with their real friends. That I was in couples. New Year's Eve was amazing. It's been really good.
Yeah, it was. It's been so nice just to be back to normal.
Where have you been since?
Just done a bit of just a bit of Frog, and then this weekend, I ended up in Chester and then Leeds. Basically, down to my regulars. You know when you don't want a big away day, do you? Like, oh, I've got a gig in Aberdeen in January. No, thanks. I'm all right.
Yeah. I've just done some tour support.
For who?
For Theo Vaughn. Do you know Theo?
I do, yeah. That's cool. Where was he?
He was at the Dance House in Manchester, like the smallest venue he's doing on his tour. He did two nights, like, just a great night. But so he has his own opener. He has his own feature act, but he likes a host. So I had to go on, MC for 10 minutes, bring his feature on. They had a break, and then an MC for 5 and bring him on. Just the nicest gigs in the world, and he's so funny, like, and just deep south of America, Louisiana. He's from near New Orleans. He's a Saints fan as well.
Yeah, I watched his special. He recorded his special in New Orleans.
Yeah,
it's cool.
He
seems really sound.
Oh, he's so sound. He's like the soundest guy, and just like he's just got a turn of phrase. Like, I'm sure he doesn't mind me sort of mentioning one or two of the things, but like one of the lines was, I rang this hotline and someone answered, and it was either a Vietnamese lady or a gay fella who'd had the wind taken out of him.
I love it. All that weirdly, because like I am a non-believer and I've called myself a card-carrying atheist for a long time, but he just throws in these really random like Christian bits, like, go out, be a good Christian soldier, and you're like, where's that come from? Yeah. It's a bit about wanking.
But him and his support act as well was a guy called Ari Manis, who was great as well.
All right.
And yeah, if anyone wants to check those guys out that doesn't know them, I mean, imagine if you know who either of us are, you'll know who Theo Van are. But
that is Netflix for you. That's Netflix and American podcasting. Yeah. Because that's where
his podcast's huge. It's called This Past Weekend, and it's dead popular. He has all like a load of big names on it. But it's quite, what was quite interesting about that is, over here, the majority of comics are what Americans would call liberal and we would call lefties.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not. America is more right leaning now in the comedy industry, and it's just such a weird split, isn't it? And I'm wondering why that's happened and how it can happen. That the comics over here are left wing and over there they're sort of centre right. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I do. It's tricky, isn't it? I feel that their politics is way more opinionated.
Yeah.
I think they're used to a culture.
And their comedy.
That's what I meant. The comedy's more opinion. Yeah. The comedy's more politicised. From the outside looking in, you're like, God, you've had so many sort of heroes of American comedy through the years, like, that have influenced politics. And even now, like, with who's like Joe Rogan, he's sort of centrist, right leaning, but his politics comes out in his comedy.
He considered himself a liberal.
Right, yeah, but it's almost not
centre left. It very central.
He said on his podcast, he's all over the map, really. Because on some things he's really left wing. On like guns, he's really like, is it Second Amendment?
But even like,
but over here, I think people are very like, oh, I didn't come here for politics, and you're like, no, but it's, are we not allowed to discuss opinions?
Yeah,
and I think there they're a bit more used to ideas being discussed, and you're you can listen to something.
You
going,
can feel the boredom in a room over here if the word Brexit is mentioned. If
it's got to be a good joke.
It's got to be the best Brexit joke, because there's a million of them on Twitter already. That's the problem now.
Yeah, totally.
Topical political stuff is covered so much on social media that if they come out to, they're looking at it all day and all week, and they're talking about it in their offices. If they come out and hear us talk about it, then it's got to be levels above what they're reading and hearing from their mates at work.
Yeah.
And I think that's why if you mention the word, they go, ugh. And you've then, you start at a -4. So to get a 10, your joke's got to be a 14 out of 10. Do you know what I mean?
And also what I find, I've got one reference about Brexit at the start of my set, which I set the joke up and it gets laughs. I mention Brexit, it kills the joke dead.
Yeah.
And then I have the punchline, gets it back so well, it's worth it being killed dead because the punchline is so good. Yeah. So that's one of those ones where, and that's one reference. And then in my current set, I've got a bit about stopping the NHS being privatised.
Yeah.
Which is a...
It's a good bit, that I've seen that.
Which is not like a controversial thing, but again, it's like current issues and politics. It's amazing how difficult it is to make those opinions work when the bit before has been about like something really just like my kid's nursery or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So if you did like
a gear change,
like a silly wanking bit,
yeah,
and then mention Brexit, a crowd would be like, what?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Not only do I think, yeah, you're right.
That's getting... like when the Arctic Monkeys released that album last year and everyone was like, it's a bit fucking different, this lad. It took everyone like a week to go, it's actually quite good, actually.
But that's why bands stay in their genre.
Yeah, I
think you're totally right. People are getting it on Twitter, and what Twitter does, it pulls out the extremes, the most controversial. That's why Katie Hopkins exists.
Yeah.
Twat of the week. She exists because she goes so far one way and then everyone goes far. Yeah. There's loads of people on Twitter going, yeah, I'm not sure. I think there's probably two sides to the argument. Well, that doesn't get brought up in your highlights. So politics on your phone is just all the extremes of like, rah!
Yeah.
And then add that to the fact, I don't think there's a history of political comedy, especially live over here. Like you talk about the heroes of British comedy that most people would cite as the influences of everyone, like Peter Kay,
Billy Connolly,
not massively political.
It's all sorts of everyman stories are top tier comedy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And even like Michael McIntyre, Mickey Flanagan, yeah. John Bishop. And I'm not saying they're your favourite comics, but they are the ones that
the
are
the most successful
shaped,
comics in the country.
They
yeah,
shape
yeah.
The comedy culture.
Yeah, yeah.
And then how do you get your politics into your set where you've got a bit about wanking, you've got a bit about like. Just
yeah.
some random bit of interaction with the crowd, which is yeah. asking them the job.
I'd never really,
and it jars a little bit, I think, in the set.
I'd never really considered that because, like, whenever I see like an American comic talking about American politics, it doesn't make me go ugh. But if I see a British comic do it, I do turn off. I'm not in, like, I don't want to be that way, but I'm not. It just does. It's not for me. Do you know what I mean? When I hear someone do a Boris Johnson joke, I'm like ugh. But if I hear someone do a bit about the Senate, I'm like, yeah. I can relate to this. This is, it's really
same when
weird.
I watch Bill Burr, and he does really like Theo Von just does random like Christian things, like got like a good Christian, right? Which makes me laugh.
You probably really don't know yourself.
Yeah, you want to go outside, have a word with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then I watch Bill Burr, and he throws in really random sports references. Out of nowhere, there'll be like an NFL reference, like, this is what we train for, like game seven. And I think that's hilarious. In British comedy, as someone said, as soon as someone goes like United or City, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
fuck
yeah.
Off.
And I'm a massive footy fan, but I'm the same with
it's
that.
So
I'm like,
funny.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that? Is that just oversaturation? Because we
Maybe.
Are so sick of bell ends that we know talking
but
about
then,
it.
But then it wouldn't work over there because they'd have the same thing. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe Americans are just cooler than us, Dan. Maybe we're just all big silly sausages.
I think in comedy it is very easy because, like, circuit-wise, I'm doing great. You're kicking on. Like, I think there's some great stand-up in Britain, but I think it is easy for us to look up to them and what they're doing. And part of it is maybe because I don't know. You can't. I don't know any of them. Like over here, when I see like Peter Kay on something. or Jack Whitehall, I'm like, I know these people. I've met with them. I've worked, you know, like when Chris Ramsey's on something, like, yep. Me and Chris, I remember his first gigs. When I watch American comedy, I'm like, it's almost like they're in a different fucking universe.
Yeah. And that's when I've met some of the American comics, I'm always a bit more like, not starstruck, but I haven't got another word for it. You know what I mean? Just a bit like, oh, that's that guy. Whereas over here, if I meet one of the famous comics, I'm like, oh yeah, he's from 200 miles away, so of course I've met him. But I think I've had a theory for a while. I think the reason that I'm just talking about stand up here, not comedy in general, because obviously comedy covers movies and scripts and whatever, but the top tier American stand ups I think are ahead of our top tier slightly. And I think it's because as soon as they tape their special, they're back in a comedy club full of people who aren't necessarily expecting them, don't necessarily know who they are. I mean, most of them will know who they are, but, you know, they're not playing to their own fans. They're going back with absolute dog shit, notes off a notepad in a comedy club the week after they tape their special. That's what they do. They're back in the gym.
Yeah.
Whereas our top comics tend to take a year off, then they start writing again, and then they do a mini tour of, like, small art centres in front of their own fans.
It's almost like a soft landing, isn't it?
Totally. They're not, like, staying as sharp as the top-tier American ones, and I think that's why we're a little bit...
Well, Peter Kay, who famously doesn't really like gigging or the circuit, does he? He's one of those ones where he hardly ever comes back.
Yeah.
I think as soon as he was done with the circuit, he was like, and that's me never go. Whereas I've worked with Johnny Vegas loads, and they started out at the same time. Johnny Vegas is big news, but Peter Kay doesn't want anything to do with it. When he was warming up for that arena tour about 5 years ago, he asked around and was like, I need a comedy club that runs a comedy night as close to my house as possible. And it was that one in Bury that Paul has the Met in Bury. He worked out that it was like a 14-minute drive from his house, so he booked it for a 40-night run. And he did it 40 nights on the bounce.
Did his own Edinburgh Festival.
Just literally. So the people of Bury were like, what? So they got PK. And apparently that's so, instead of like touring around, which a lot of comics now do, sometimes they do the... You know, I did a Kevin Bridges and Friends a couple of years ago, where he got the stand in Newcastle on a Wednesday and put like me and a couple of our mates on. And within the night, he must have been on stage for about 50 minutes, but he takes the pressure off by having acts like us do our set. So if he's charging a tenner, it's good value. Peter Kay's like, no, don't want anyone else, just 14 minutes from my house, 40 nights in a row. Like, the commitment to not having to deal with other comedians is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's funny.
I also think part of the influence in America is HBO and Netflix, which have been doing uncensored comedy since the 80s. Just going, we are a subscription-based digital TV station.
There's no advertisers who can pull our money away.
Fuck, cunt, you can talk about anything. And that has spawned so much of it. So by the mid-90s, you've got Chris Rock doing Bring the Pain. And what have we got in the mid-90s? You've got Lee Evans at his pomp. Yeah. And if you want to know what the difference between British comedy and American comedy
is... That's it, isn't it?
That is kind of it.
Go and watch Wired and Wonderful at Wembley or whatever Lee Evans was, and watch Chris Rock bring the pain. And Lee Evans is murdering, and he's a great comic.
It's great fun, but...
It's great fun, but it's not the same thing. It's badminton and tennis, isn't it?
Oh, it's not even...
They both got rackets and nets, so from a distance, you're like, are they playing the same thing?
Yeah.
It's not the same sport at all.
Yeah, and I think that's a massive part. And that's what sort of why I love the podcasting element here with us, because... Podcasting is a little bit, it's like, it's completely free. Because when I was growing up, I wanted to work on the radio. I didn't even know yet I could be a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in your head, you're like, I'm not funny enough. And people might still think that. But you're like, you're looking at these people are demigods on the stage. You're like, you're just a kid. But I was looking at local radio stations going, I could do that. Oh my God, I did a couple of work experiences. And the second one was for Radio Wave in Blackpool, 96.5. The Wave. And I watched a guy in a 3 hour program say 96.5, you're listening to The Wave, 55 times. And I was like 16, I was like, your life's shit, mate. 96.5, The Wave.
The reputation that local radio has within like the PR industry. Like, I've had various publicists for Edinburgh, so I won't say which one was like this, but like, I had to do a load of local radio stuff to promote a tour, and they were like, oh, I feel really bad for you because they're all just useless cunts. There's a reason they're only allowed to talk to the people of Torquay.
And who's listening going, I love Adam Rowe. I listen to.
Oh, mate. Like,
does it sell tickets?
No. Of course it doesn't. Who's listening to you for 12 seconds on the radio going, yeah, my name's Adam. I'm a comedian from Liverpool. And I'm coming to Coventry on the 12th. Are you, Adam? Thanks very much. Here's Mr. Brightside. Who's listening to that and then going, he sounds good. He sounds really good. 14 quid, bargain. I'm going to see him.
Adam, have you got any material we could do on the show? Just before I go live, any material you can do? What kind of subjects do you talk about? I've got a bit about trans. Okay, we're not going to do that. We're going to play Polentini.
Do you know what was really awkward? When a couple of years ago, through some sort of nonsense, I'm sure a couple of people listening know, I won Best Joke of the Fringe, the Dave Award.
Right? I literally saw you on TV in my Edinburgh flat. It's the most, this moment of like, oh my God.
It's the most awkward
Rose
thing
on
in the
TV
world.
In Scotland, mate.
It's the most awkward thing in the world. So you win it, you get told like a week before, but then the day before all those interviews, I got told, right, tomorrow... You've cleared your day, haven't you? And I was like, well, I had nothing in it, but yeah, fine.
Nando's cancelled.
So they went, right, we're going to pick you up at 5:30 a.m. And I went, what?
Brilliant.
And they went, yeah, 5:30 a.m. So be ready for like 5.
Because I'm always twiddling my thumbs at 5:30.
What are you on about? They were like, you're going to do breakfast TV. So then you get taken to this little studio in Edinburgh, like the BBC studio. There's a green screen behind you. There's just a camera in your face. There's fucking no one else in the room, right? And every single interview you do is exactly the same. And it's full of... It's done by the presenters who couldn't give a fuck who you are or what the joke is or that you've won.
You are just a segment.
Oh, mate. So they don't even laugh at it, though. That's the thing. So this guy, BBC Breakfast or whatever it was, and he goes, so, welcome. We are now here with Adam Rowe, who has just won the best joke of the Edinburgh Fringe. So, Adam, how are you, pal? And I went, hiya, mate, you're okay? Yeah, just really happy to have won it, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, so, Adam, without further ado, come on, mate, tell us the joke. And I went, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he went, thanks, Adam. Anyway... I had to do that countless times. Every single TV news show, every local radio station, every national news thing. And don't get me wrong, that sold me some tickets because won an award. And people go, oh, best joke of the Fringe, you must be good. The worst joke in the show as well, ironically, the one that never really got a big laugh.
By the end of it,
tell us the joke. Thanks, Adam.
He's got some bellend in his ear going, as soon as this is finished, we've got to go quickly to camera 7.
Oh,
so he's not even listening. How tempting was it to just start doing other jokes? Adam, tell us a joke. Knock, knock. Who's there?
I would
Doctor.
I would have loved to have done that. If I'd had that idea, I think I might have done that at some point. So just watching this guy, because he's got the joke written down in front of him as well. So he's like, it's not what it says on here.
Adam's gone rogue. It was a black fella.
Okay, that's all we got time for from Adam from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Did you watch the Ricky Gervais monologue from the Golden Globes? Did you see it?
I watched two of those a few years ago. I watched them. As a comic, I think you're drawn into stuff like that, and I find them so fucking painful. And this was a few years ago.
Really?
That my memory of it, I was like, I can't do it. And this is why I didn't watch it this year, is because they showed a clip and it was Tom Hanks cringing. And I was like, you fucking leave Tom Hanks alone. And then afterwards...
He didn't have a go with Tom Hanks, to be fair.
Right. But I do like Ricky Gervais. I love some of his stuff. I think sometimes I watch his stand-up and I see flashes of brilliance. And then other times I feel him doing like a really controversial joke about like Down syndrome and rape or something. And I feel like...
It's not the same joke.
That's the joke you should have done for the BBC when they're interviewing you. And I sometimes think, yeah, I'm not that impressed by that stuff. And don't get me wrong, I like a joke that messes with what's, you know, where the line of etiquette is political correctness. But sometimes I think it's not that brave to do that joke to all of your fans who are there. They've spent 35 quid to see you. They're completely on board. It's a really... I got this email from this woman who said I was really offensive just because I did this joke. And everyone's like, oh, no, it's brilliant. I almost think, come to where I work.
Yeah, yeah.
And then do that joke, and then let's see if it's a good joke.
I do agree with you on that, because like, there's some of the stuff he's made I think is amazing, and I watch his stand-up, and I think, again, there's flashes of brilliance, but I think he never did the circuit, did he? He never did the miles, so there's some clunkiness to it, and there's some open spotty syndrome to some of it.
It looks a little bit amateurish.
At times, and... You know, I'm not criticising him, because some of the stuff is amazing, and he's one of the most... I think he's the fastest selling ticket-wise comedian of all time.
Yeah.
I think his last tour sold quicker than anything else ever. So I'm not in any position to go, he's not a good stand-up, but he would be better at it if he'd done more miles on the circuit before he exploded. That's just that. But this Golden Globes thing is right. Brilliant.
Is it?
It's so good.
I'll watch
and
it then.
He takes so many shots, and... Like, he's digging at Leonardo DiCaprio, and DiCaprio's just sat there and having to take it. And I love that he gets to just put people he doesn't really know absolutely just in the most awkward situation. And every comedian I've seen talk about it has said it's brilliant. And every journalist has said it's problematic and not funny. It's like, this is the same week that we've bombed Iran.
And
there wasn't enough opinion articles about like whether we're going to start World War III. I've seen more about whether Ricky Gervais was out of line to say that Leonardo DiCaprio fucks young women maybe a bit too often. He made one little Jeffrey Epstein joke, one Prince Andrew joke. Like, I think just on the record, I'm so glad that he took these shots, and I'm so glad... These jokes, when you see them, this is on NBC in America, a major, major network.
Is it
the Golden
Globes? Is it live?
Yeah. So,
and they got him back.
And they got, like, there's two things that they muted, which they must have known were coming in advance, because obviously it's all, like, on a, what's it called, an auto cue. So, but they've approved these jokes. And I just think, in this day and age, like, you were talking before about HBO and Netflix going, you can say whatever the fuck you want, like it's a subscription-based thing and people don't have to watch if they don't want to. This is a network that has gone, do you know what? We need to approve this stuff and let them say it, and you will like it.
Do you know what? And it's also in reaction to what happened last year at the Golden Globes when they got the woman that plays Eve in Killing Eve, and they got someone else, and they basically said, we're not going to do the piss-taking, the roasting-style host. We're going to just make it very friendly and very inclusive. And they had writers come on board to write little skits. And, oh my God, it was eye-watering. Joe Rogan played some of it on his podcast, and Andrew Santino had some of it on his. And they were debating it. It was the most sterile, cringeworthy, fucking awful piece of hosting, monologuing ever. And it's because...
This is the opposite of that.
It's because they'd gone, oh, we can't have any more. Things have changed. I love the fact that in the Golden Globes have gone, yeah, actually, it is good though, isn't it? It's better. And maybe that's the first little glimpse of coming back from that uber left-wing liberal, like, everything is basically cancel culture worthy. But
the reaction to it has still been the same as... It always is to that sort of stuff. The amount of articles that are like, should we really be allowing Ricky Gervais to say these things? Should we be giving this man a platform with the things he said in the past? Do you know what? Yeah, we should. It was fucking brilliant. And I'm just done with people who don't do comedy telling comedians what is good comedy.
You're totally
like,
right.
Like, journalists going, is this funny? Well, every comedian on the planet is saying it is, so shut the fuck up and go and review a restaurant in Times Square, you daft cunt.
You know, you're right. But you know why they're doing that? Is because it's not a comedy show. It's basically like, you know when you get criticised after a corporate gig and someone goes, well, we didn't really expect
but
that.
But he kills
sort of
it.
No, of course, but no one's writing that piece about his stand-up or a stand-up show, because they're like, yeah, well, that is comedy.
They are, though.
Oh, I know, but not to the same extent. The reason I think it gets so much kickback is because it's an award for actors, and this is, it's prestigious. It's basically, he's doing the most high-visibility corporate in comedy history.
But he's literally lambasting everyone in the room.
He's nailing, oh, mate, I'm on your side. I'm just trying to give a reason for why they get the knickers in such a twist about it. Is it because they're like, can't we just do it nicely? Like, we did that a year ago. It was shit.
I think also the line where he points out the hypocrisy of the people in the room. And I think when you point out hypocrisy, everyone who is that same level of hypocrite takes it as a bit of a dig.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So what he says is, he goes, Apple have launched their streaming service this year, and you know they're gonna probably win an award tonight for their show, The Morning Show, which is a show about you know, doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. And you know, yeah, you all say you're woke in this room, but look at the companies you work for. You work for Apple, you work for Disney. If ISIS started a streaming platform, you'd all call you fucking agent. So if you win an award tonight, come on the stage, right? Don't use it as a political platform to make a point, because you know nothing about the real world. You've got no position to be lecturing the general public on anything. Thank your agents, thank you God, and fuck off.
I love it. I'm already watching it. I'm watching it just for that.
It's so good. It's really, really, really good.
I am not good with the roast comment. It just makes me cringe. I don't know what it is. I don't know why I'm such a fucking pussy for it. But then actually, as long as I can cut out the bit, when someone shows me a good bit, I'm like, oh God, that was good.
Yeah.
Like I love Jeff Ross's clips from all his roasting. And if you follow American stand-up, Jeff Ross is a bit of like
Roast Master General.
He's a bit of a roast legend. And watching him roast, I really enjoy it, which is totally, that's hypocritical for me, for going, oh, roasting makes me cringe. But there was something about a few years ago when Robert Downey Jr. got his knickers in his twist, and now I'm smiling because it is funny, because he's such a pompous twat. But the just general atmosphere, I have a problem with like not empathising with how cringy it would have been in that room. And I almost find myself imagining sitting there going, oh God, this is hard work. But
this slides us nicely into a little plug for me. So at the end of this month, Roast Battle UK is back on Comedy Central, and I'm going to be on it.
Can we just slide into that? Talking about roast,
Roast Battle UK is back at the end of this month, I think, or it might be early February on Comedy Central, and I am going to be on one of the episodes battling Maisie Adam.
Nice one.
So keep an eye out for that, and let me know who you think won.
Yeah, they're going to they're listening to our podcast. They like you. They're not going to be like Adam Maisie.
There's going to be
Richardson.
Some hate listeners on this though as well. There's going to be some people who think we're both twats, like listening to hate it.
Wow.
Yeah. Listening until we say,
waiting for a bit of cancel culture.
Yeah. They're definitely listening in.
No pressure there then. Who would you roast before we crack on? Who would you roast if you could roast anyone?
Sophie Hagen.
You didn't even fucking have to think about it.
No, I begged Comedy Central to get her to battle me on the telly. She said no. I've got it written.
ready to go. If you started writing for roast battles that haven't happened.
Yeah. I'm like a rapper from the 90s. I've got diss tracks ready for all these motherfuckers.
Oh my God. I love it.
Yeah.
The level of roasting you.
Yeah,
roasting my.
I've done two roast battles now. I did my tryout against Deliso Chaponda, and then I've done Maisie Adam. And if I get to do another series, I'll battle whoever they want me to battle. But the final boss, Dr. Robotnik of roast battle for me, is Sophie.
The big boss at the end, the big end the level,
the body positive boss at the end.
Sorry, did I say big? I meant in terms of stature.
Did you? There we go. There's the hate listeners.
I've only done rap battles, and the first one was a doddle because I did it against Ro Campbell, who got his knickers in a twist about my agent not booking him. I was like, Ro, this makes you look like a little bell end, and I'm not my agent.
This makes you look unbookable.
So I wasn't even being that vicious. Mine were just funny because they rhymed. And I was like, well, that's a good formula. Let them be annoyed, and I'll just do slams, you know, really, that are just funny.
Yeah.
Then the next one I did was with Justin Morehouse, and he was like, mate, we're not going too hard, are we? When everyone pretexts you with any roast battle or rap battle thing, comedy wise, and says, we're not going too hard, never be stupid enough to be like, ah, Justin wouldn't fuck me over on this one. Oh my God.
Did you get fingered?
I honestly, knuckle deep, he was also sharing a flat with our mutual friend, Danny McLaughlin, who swore on his life that he didn't give any information to Justin. But every slam that really stung
reeked of Danny Mac. Yeah, you know, yeah. And you're like, you little shit.
Yeah.
It was too specific. It was too good. Justin's like, wow.
Yeah.
And it
built remember up. That time you left the pan in the sink?
And he built up. He started like talking about girls I'd slept with. I was like, mate, come on. And it was too good. And it was, they were good. But I was like, because he'd messaged me and gone, we're going easy, aren't we? I was just doing gentle shit. And then he built up. He did one about my dad having Parkinson's, which was so fucking funny, to be fair. And then he built up to basically go, and you've nicked a load of jokes, and then started listing bits of material. I'm like, oh my God, Danny Mac. I could fucking murder Danny Mac.
Yeah, that reeks of Danny.
Mate, with Danny's Mac's OCD autism about who's maybe nicked a bit.
Yeah.
And no, I've never nicked material, but when you turn over a load of stuff, you clip bits.
Yeah.
And a joke thief goes, no, I've not. No, I've not. That's bullshit. And someone who goes, oh, my mistake, can either fight their point or they just give up the bit. And I've had to give up a bit that was way too like Mick Ferry's. I literally had not seen it, and Danny Mac pointed it out. He's never let me forget it.
Yeah,
I stopped doing the bit within a few weeks, and I've never done it since. So all of a sudden, Justin has this piece of information that previously he did not fucking know, built up. And at that point, the rap battle was going fine. As soon as a comedian calls another comedian a joke thief, and afterwards I was like, Justin, what the fuck was that? He was like, oh, it was just a joke. You're like, you can't do it, mate. That's basically like calling a primary school teacher a pedo in school, innit?
Yeah.
That's the one thing.
The thing is, though, like, oh, I know it's horrible, but I think what if you get involved with a roast or a rap battle, it's coming. Like, the worst thing you've ever done can come your way.
Yeah, especially if you've got fucking Voldemort in his ear. Just like...
just, got, like for every comic listening, because there will be comics that listen to this. Yeah, if you take a roast or a rap battle and you think you can take anything off limits... Because when I did the one on the telly, I found something about Maisie. And I was like, right, this is a really, really, really... good thing, and I can use this. And there wasn't enough to really work with Maisie apart from this thing. In the end, I managed to work it out, but I was like, right, I've got this. And I wrote two killer, you know what, this is my podcast, I can say it on this, it's not going on the telly. When Maisie was a kid,
where is this going?
She was left in a hotel room by her mum and dad, and they went out for a drink, and she was found wandering around the hotel.
She's Madeleine McCann.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I said, she was left in a hotel room when I went for a drink, but she made it back. They didn't lose her. Her nickname at school was Maddie McCann. Get rid of her. I said,
you've won this rap battle.
She's the only abandoned child who ever made it back. Even the paedophile ring she was sold to wouldn't fuck her.
That's for a reason. Oh my God.
But they, because she said, oh, that's in my tour show. Yeah, so she said, because that's like a reveal at the end of my tour show, you can't say it on the telly, because then if people watch it and come to me tour, they'll already know the end.
She'd already claimed it.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's good though, mate. Weirdly, that is fine. I still think calling someone a joke thief is. Do you know what?
Well, she wants. So when I won Best Joke at the Fringe, the Sun claimed that I'd nicked it. And she wanted to bring that up. Now, initially, I'd said to her, nothing's off limits. Do whatever you want. But as soon as she said, you can't do that, I went, well, you're not doing nothing.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's so, if you're not a comic, it must be weird to be like, God, you sound really het up about this. There is something really out of order when someone's not a joke thief throwing that shit at them. It's it's like when a couple splits up. It's literally like the mum who wants full custody going, he fiddles with her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, you absolute twat.
Yeah.
And I...
No, it's the worst thing a comedian can be called.
Like,
the same way, like, being a non-C teacher is the worst thing a teacher can be called or anything. I know what you're saying.
I just... Maybe this is because we're in the bubble, but what made it worse was I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I wasn't expecting it
because
I've already done one roast battle and it went smoothly. I was like, these are quite nice. These are fun. Yeah. And then we'd also prepped it by going, we're going to go easy. And I'm like, afterwards, I was like, Justin, how was that going easy? He's like, oh, I just thought, you know, I thought it'd be all right. You're like, fuck.
I think he's a bit snakey, Justin, though.
He's naughty for that. That was naughty.
I think he is a bit snaky like that. I think he's it's a bit self-serving that.
With fucking Quirrell in his ear.
When I battle,
if Justin Morehouse took his hat off,
Danny Mac
would be in the back like.
And you did that bit like Mick Ferry.
When I battled Deliso, it was almost the exact opposite of that. So we did the battle in London on a Friday night.
You roast battled a African Malawian comedian. Oh, you mate. Must be like when you were writing, you're like, oh god, no.
I went hard, mate. Because midweek, so we were battling on a Friday, and the Tuesday, Wednesday night, we were at Hot Water in Liverpool. And he was on, both on, and he was like, oh, I've got this battle Friday. And I was like, yeah. He went, let's not swap jokes. We don't want to do that. And I was like, okay. And he went, and come hard, because I'm coming hard. So, you know, it needs to be a battle. And
we did the opposite of what Justin did to me.
And I went, okay, cool. So I wrote all my stuff. I was sending it to other comics going, what do you think of this? What do you think of this one? And I got my five jokes fine-tuned. And look, Deliso, if you listen to this, I'm sorry, because obviously there is footage of this. Comedy Central have got it, because it was like a trial for them. He didn't speak to me for a while. He left the building. He didn't stay around, because it was one-sided. Because I took every bit of fat out. And because he said, he was like, nothing's off limits. So I went for African jokes, racist jokes, because it's a roast battle. And
yeah,
the crowd was also like, what a horrible word, very diverse. Like, it was in North London and such a mixed crowd, and the black guys in the crowd, Darren Harriott was there at the back just falling apart. Darren Harriott at one point heckled, as a black man, that's too far. But afterwards it was just, I'll tell you,
but
something,
it was in the spirit of the night.
Yeah, but I don't think Deliso expected me to be quite as good at it as I was.
So he's egged you on, not realising how far it can go.
And they went, who wants to go first? And he went, let him go first, which is the worst spot. So he sort of put me first, but it fucked him up, because my first joke was essentially the flip of what his first joke was going to be. So in his head, he just had to delete that and lose a joke. So he was light on. So
he thought he was going to do the he'll open, I'll close.
Yeah. But my first joke was, I'm pretty sure I'll win this. Being shit at roast battles is in Deliso's blood. He's from a long line of people who've been owned. Right? And his his first line was going to be, this is, Liverpool's the capital of slavery in the UK, but this time it's the black man owning a Scouser.
So he can't. He's just done his own joke.
I've done it before he got to it. He called me the pig David Cameron fucked, and I responded to that by calling him a fat bald Carlton Banks. He's the Fresh Prince of Nowhere. it was a massacre. He had some good stuff, but
he can write a joke.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, he's a great comic, but it was, yeah.
Just, do you understand what I mean? I can understand why some comics don't go in for the roasting stuff. I'm not.
Oh yeah,
I just sometimes.
But it's very much in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I really like it, and like
there are some brilliant comics that can't and don't want to do the roast comedy stuff.
Oh, totally.
And there are
it's a totally different thing.
There are some weirdly not great stand-up comedians who set isn't great, who are so good at roasting. It's almost like something like the format and the structure of it, and then also the fact that they are borderline sociopaths. It all just clicks in, and you're like, oh my god, you are meant for this. It's just well-timed bullying.
Yeah. And I went to a school where you had to bully people or you got bullied yourself, so Hobbit Mugabe.
It's also, you get time to think about the bullying. You don't even have to be on the spot. You're like, I've had 2.5 months to prep this.
Deliso used to be a rapper, the notorious HIV.
Okay, no. Do you know, if anyone's listening waiting to hear when we fuck up, it's no.
Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. This is Have a Word with Adam Rowe and Dan Nightingale.
So, it's the Have a Word section. This is our main feature. It's going to be in every single episode. And this is what the podcast's all about, really. This is us doing an agony aunt style section where we sort of try and give a bit of advice to you or your mates. So if you've got someone who's got a bit of a problem going on, if one of your mates are a bit annoying, a bit of a bell end sometimes, you want us to have a chat with them and go, lad, sort your life out here. We need to have a way, but yeah, you're being
a
knob.
Or if you just need to tell the story of you, any loved ones, anyone you know and mate. It's like almost like a social intervention where you go, someone's got to speak to you, but I can't go through the cringe of doing it myself. I'm just going to get Adam and Dan to slag you off on a podcast.
Absolutely.
Have a fucking word.
The best way to get these into us is to tweet them to us at Have A Word Pod. You can also DM them to us at Have A Word Pod on Twitter. It's the same on Instagram. And we are haveawordpod@gmail.com. Alternatively, if you follow me or Dan specifically, you should be following the podcast as well, but you can just DM us. Get them into us any way you can, and we'll try and get through as many as we can on every single episode.
And we want
Have A Word Podcast.
Yeah, we want the pod to be interactive. We don't want it to be, I love chatting shit, but I want it to be as interactive as possible. It's not just us just like fucking chatting every episode. I want to hear the level of bellendery that our listeners suffer through.
Well, we've got three submissions already.
Solid.
So the first one, right. Dear Adam and Dan, I'm really looking forward to the podcast and I'm hoping you'll have a word with my mate Alex. Over the Christmas period, he's got back together with his ex-girlfriend. She's super controlling. She's violent. She's even bitten him in the past. And he's taken her back all because her nan died on Christmas Day.
Oh,
all of us, I'm assuming that's his mates, have been saying that just because she's got a dead nan, it doesn't make her a good person. But he's not listening. Maybe he'll listen to you guys as he's seen you both perform and likes you both. That's from Thomas in Manchester.
Literally nearly everyone in existence has had a dead nan. Hitler had a dead nan. Oh God, he's invaded Poland. I know.
But his nan's dead.
He does have a dead nan.
When did she die? 50 years ago, before he was born.
Austria, 05, but he's still suffering from it.
So Alex, lad, you've got back together with a girl because her nan's died.
Can we just go through the list of, because that's a mate talking about his mate going, this is just from the outside looking in. I'm sure this girl has a plus points.
She's bitten you.
Is she fit? I think must be fit.
She must be like seven or above.
She's because
you can't get back with a six who's a biter.
No lad is going to keep dating a Montoon nibbles. Hey, if you're not attractive, you can't be taking chunks out of your butt. That's such a lad thing, isn't it? Oh, she's bitten me again. Just fuck her off, mate. I know, but she's got a really nice ass.
If she's taking chunks out of you, like, she's violent. That must mean she twats him.
She's violent.
Maybe she killed her nan. Just as Boxing Day? Fuck off, Nana.
Alex, are you thinking of dumping
fucking
me?
Link set, I'm a girl.
Bashed her to death with an empty card. Where's me money in here, Nana? Right, what have you ever been? Have you ever been with a girl that's been violent?
No.
Punched you?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. Not like on a Tuesday for no reason, but like in the middle of a mad row, you've said the wrong thing and they've gone, you twat. Yeah.
Oh, really? Punched for the...
Yeah. But not like... Not like she's come home and took her day out on me.
Where's me tea?
Couldn't find parking. Boss was a twat. Get here, dickhead. Not like that. Not like I've never been a victim of domestic abuse.
Just Adam Carr in the corner.
I've been punched for the same reason you might punch me if I've said like something really offensive specifically about you.
Is that the way at Deliso wanted to punch?
Yeah.
I had a pebble thrown at my head and it wasn't even in an argument. I was playing Champ Man. I think you know, this is back in the day, and I think you know you're playing Champ Man too much. Is if you, I was with a girl, and we'd been together a while, like, really nice girl, and still, we didn't even end that eggy, but she was trying to have an argument about me so much, and I was like, you know when you're playing Championship Manager, and you're like, it's a key point of the season, like I'm in the fucking Champions League with, like, York. I love Champ Man for just the bullshit. Like,
do you know what I love
as
well?
Southport to the Champions
League. You're showing
League.
Your age a bit here, because Champ Man changed to Footy Man in like 2005.
Yeah, well, that's when I was out. And I still played Champ Man until about 2012, but I just played it on the old format. Champman 0102, they perfected it. I was like, I'm done here, this is me. I was still playing the old version of the game. I was playing it so much, and she was trying to have an argument with her. I wasn't engaging because I was like, I've got a big match coming up. And she got so annoyed, and she was a little bit of a hippie, and for some reason she had like a pebble that she'd found on the beach, fucking threw it at me. Mate, and in my head I'm like,
get you off
I was the victim there.
You were? You were the victim? Have you never?
Why are you throwing pebbles? I've not saved the season. Fucking psycho.
Oh, imagine if it like landed on one of your buttons and deleted something. Then I'd have it here.
Bad, mate.
Have
violent.
You never said, have you never been punched in an argument by a girl? Like where like you've said the wrong thing?
Honestly, I think,
because I will admit, and my missus puts up with this, God bless her, when we have a screaming row, it's roast battle time. Like, my filter's gone. I've got no brain to mouth filter if I'm angry.
Right.
So I say the most horrific shit.
Right.
And also, I say things accidentally that wind it up. Like, a couple of weeks ago, I bought a new coffee machine, and this started an argument, and I didn't mean it to, but I've just got this way of saying things that wind women up. So I went, I'm going to put my coffee machine here, babe. And she went, no, that's the only bit we've got to, like, prep food when we're cooking. And I went, when do you cook? And that wasn't even the worst bit. So one that angered question. A little bit. She went, I cook all the time. And I went, you need room for a baking tray? See, that's why I've been punched in arguments, because I didn't even mean that as an insult. So when I'm trying to wind someone up, when I'm trying to be hurtful when you're angry. Yeah. So I assume... I'm hoping this girl has only punched him when he's been a knobhead like that, but maybe she's just...
No one takes it seriously anyway. No one takes it seriously. I'm about to sound like the biggest, like, incel ever. Like,
we get beaten up all the time. I mean, we break one woman's jaw and it's all over the fucking internet.
But I get a scratch on my cheek and no one gives...
But no, weirdly, no one... It really isn't taking that seriously. Domestic abuse against men isn't taking it seriously. Like, why don't you just bang her out? But you're like, it doesn't work like that. All joking aside, if she's violent, have a word...
Yeah,
I know. Like the biting things. It's easy to take the piss.
That could be sexy.
That's not. If that. How long you been seeing each other? Like 2 months. If she's biting at 2 months, don't marry this bitch, because it's not gonna. Honestly, like marriage. Like I've been married 5 years. You get to a point where you're like, no, I'm not. I'm adding years. I've just added years to my. Hang on. How long have I been married? I've been with 3.5 years. Right. Yeah. So you. There are days where it's not easy. It's a long thing. Like. If early doors, she's banging you out and nibbling on your fucking shoulder, that's not going to just like, now we're engaged, that's stopped. That'll get worse.
This has got to be long term, surely, because if he's got back with her after all that.
Right.
Like, and he's close enough that he cares that her nan's dead. He's met this nan.
Nice guy. And what level, who is attractive enough that you would accept a nibble and a punch? Like, if I was dating Rihanna.
Yeah,
I'd be like, come on,
she's known for fucking taking it. I'm sorry, what comedian would I be if I didn't take an open goal like that?
Oh Jesus,
would you hit her back? Would you, if you were with someone else, let's say not Laura, so that you don't have this discussion later on, but a woman, like, she's beating you up, would you twat her back?
One, I'd never be with someone like Big Brenda. This sounds really sexist. I want to be.
Weight class. So.
Yeah. Like
on the scale.
I want light middleweight. light middleweight. I honestly, I'd never be with someone that could twat me. That's genuinely how I feel. I need to know, and this is an insecurity in me, and it's not a good thing. I've never, ever, ever got in a physical fight with anyone I've been with, and my wife Laura, I mean, but I've never been in a physical altercation. But also at the same time, I've never been with a girl.
You're not confident.
I'm not confident if it could, I'm sure I'm quoting someone stand up, like, if it went to the ground, I'd be all right, just headlock, get it down, pin, no punches, I'm just restraining. I honestly think in me I've got the strength, and also just some of the, you know, like if I worked in a mental institution, I'm sure they'd like have holes or they'd like pull their arm a little bit. Nothing's broken, but it's just a control. I reckon I'd be all right.
Yeah.
But no, I've never got, and I think as soon as you do,
I think a lot of men are like that. I think they'd like to admit, like to say that they're not and not admit it, but I think a lot of men wouldn't be with a woman that they could they could take.
Mate, Misha Tate, who's a former UFC champion.
Ronda Rousey.
They're amazing. They are so sexual, beautiful, skilled. They're athletes. And they're impressive humans. Not a fucking chance. Not a chance.
I don't think I could be in a relationship with Ronda Rousey, but I'd like her to beat me up and fuck me.
I don't think
I want her to fuck me. I want to lie there and let her go bananas.
But when does the violence come in afterwards? Because as soon as you finish,
Jordan, fuck off, lad.
Knock him out.
Fuck off, Adam.
I'm not doing that again because you're unconscious at the end. How's things going with you and Ronda, lad? Yeah, all right, all right. At least she doesn't fucking bite.
It's against UFC rules.
To be fair, I know she loves me because she never kicks me when I'm down. No, I think as soon as you get violent back, you've lost the moral high. Like, you're the victim, even if you're being bullied. Like, I know I'm saying people don't take it seriously. If they're being violent towards you, you have some rape. As soon as you even come back with 20% force in response, I think you lose
moral high ground,
and I think you lose the moral high ground. So no, I'd never.
So what's our advice for? So the guy who wrote him was called Thomas, and his mate is Alex. So we're having a word with Alex. Alex, lad, unless you think you can restrain her, you need to jib it off. So number two, ready for number two?
I am.
You haven't seen any of these. Next week maybe we'll try and flip it. And you,
I'm a little worried about number one. I hope he's all right. stay brave.
So, number two. Hiya, lads. My name's Kirsty, and my friend Angela is an absolute nightmare. Every time we go out, which is usually once a week, Angela always ends up disappearing with different lads and leaves me on my own. She will literally neck anyone if they'll buy her a drink, and I'm sick of standing in nightclubs waiting for her to come back and doing whatever it takes to get a bottle of VS. She's got a good job, too. She's minted. She doesn't need random lads paying for her nights out. She needs someone to have a word with her, but every time I try, it causes murder. Can you do it for me? Thanks. Can't wait for the podcast. Kirsty in Liverpool. First of all, right, these are going out once a week.
Yeah.
And they're drinking a bottle of VS as well. She's not even going for Wicked. She's going for cheap Wicked.
As soon as you said VS, I was like, you know how I referenced the wrong Champman game? I'm pretty sure VS were out like when I was doing like the college dues at Arabella's in Preston.
People who can't afford a Wicked.
Austerity. That's what the Tory government have done for this country. Kirsty's drinking VS. Passion fruit.
All your activists are scouse, you know.
Sorry.
So they're quite young, but I reckon these have got to be like below 25 to be going out once a week and drinking VS. Yeah?
I don't know.
Fair,
mate.
Assumption?
I don't know. I don't think you can, you know, they might still live in the house. I don't know. It's not really about an age thing because it's annoying at any age.
No, but what I'm wondering is, what 20-year-old is called fucking Angela?
I think you're having a word about the wrong thing. Like, first of all, before we get into this,
let's have a word with Angela's ma.
I'm going out with my, she's 22. She's beautiful. She's called Linda. The problem here, Kirsty, is we could talk to your mate. We could have a word, but I think that sounds like that's a character trait. I think that's how she's going to be. And I'm not saying, in my first reaction to that is, you can still be mates with her if she's a good mate, but I don't think she's a good drinking buddy. I think the problem here is,
so maybe we're having a word with Kirsty. You need to accept.
I think
who she
maybe
is.
That is kind of, it's almost like that's her coding.
Yeah.
And if you like her as a mate and you get on and you get on really well and you speak on the phone and you sometimes go out for food and you're literally there for each other as mates, sometimes just not good drinking buddies. Mate, when I used to go clubbing in Newcastle after we'd finished uni and I was starting getting into comedy, my best mate was a guy called Matt. And he and I are still best mates now, like literally 20 odd years later nearly. And he was the best man at my wedding. Even back in Newcastle on a night out, I binned him off because he sort of knew it. We just weren't great at going out, and I ended up hanging out with a couple of lads, and we'd end up at after parties, and I'm not mates with those guys particularly now, but at that age we just worked better. Matt would always want to go home early, bang, sorted. You just sort of go, this isn't where our friendship is the best.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of sounds like it's on Kirsty to be like, mate, I love you to bits, but you are dog shit to go out with.
They might only have each other though. This could be sad.
Is it just because If you're under 25 and you've only got one mate, what has gone on? Right, I'm 38 and I've got three. It's not a good sign if you're under 25 and you're down to a mate.
Yeah, I love the phrasing of it though. She's got a job too. She's minted. She doesn't need random lads paying for a night out. She'll do anything
for a bottle of VS. Do anything for a bottle of VS.
Yeah, but that's not about anything. The money, is it? That's not about the money. That's just about the attention.
She wants the dick.
I'm saying, there's nothing we could say. There's nothing anyone could say. There's nothing Kirsty could say to fix this. I think that's Angela's form.
Yeah.
I think she might be like that in 5 years, in 10 years. I think some people are just a bit of a nightmare for chasing the...
Don't marry Angela. She's going to go out and club neck.
They're risky, risky business. And I just think it's on Kirsty to be like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, sorry that's backfired, Kirsty, but we're having a word with you. You need to accept your mate and get some new ones, girl.
We're not criticising.
Yeah.
I totally sympathise with Kirsty, but I don't think the solution is like, right, Angela needs to do this. I think Angela's always going to do that.
Yeah. Adam and Dan, my son Anthony has just turned 22 and has zero savings. Okay, I think that's okay.
Let's just end here. I'm going to side with Anthony. Is his name Anthony?
Yeah.
I don't care what's said after this. I am 38 and I am only one step ahead of Anthony. And that's because my nana died. And I didn't kill her, and neither did Alex's girlfriend.
Is that when Laura got back with you?
Yes.
For the house.
She's fucking bored of me. And I was like, babe. Go on, sorry.
My son Anthony has just turned 22 and has zero savings. He's got a well-paid job and earns over £500 a week. Okay. 22, it's a good job.
Oh, good, yeah.
But as soon as he gets his wages, he's straight down the pub filling himself with vodka Red Bulls until every penny's gone.
VS.
Then he's got to borrow money from me every Monday to get himself through till payday.
Oh.
Ooh. I'm sick of it. Someone his age should be looking to save money for the rainy day, never mind to get through the week. I want you to tell him that he should get himself a girlfriend and calm himself down. Yeah? Fucking get back. Take Alex's beard off him. She'll calm you down, lad.
Right, and watch out for Angela.
You spent all the fucking money again, kid. Pow!
Yeah.
He should get himself a girlfriend. I want you to tell him that he should get himself a girlfriend to calm himself down, then start to save and look after himself a bit better. The vodka rebels are bad for his health. He's constantly got chest pain and heart palpitations.
Fucking
have a word with him, with us. He's a fan of yours and will definitely listen to your new podcast. It's from Graham in Newcastle. Graham, I've got a bit of bad news for you here, mate. But if your kid is going out on one night out, spending 500 quid and waking up the next day with heart palpitations... That ain't vodka Red Bull doing that, bro.
There is not enough Red Bull in the fucking world.
He is on the Mozambique.
That Bolivian.
He's out for the weekend. Yeah.
He's on that Bolivian matching para. Wow. Yeah.
And Anthony's on the Cochla.
Nah, well, we don't know that.
We do.
He could just be.
We do. You do.
I'm just trying to. I'm trying to side with the poor lad. Can we just separate the savings bit? Because that is such a dad talking, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
I think he should have money for, in a building society. He hasn't even got an ISA. He's nearly 23. Like, he's off on that. He's fine.
He's not even nearly 23 though. He's just turned
22. But
look,
but
I think
you do
it's
have
totally
to sort
normal.
Your money out a bit. You can't be coming to your dad every Monday being like, mate, can you? I've got any money. That's a bit of a bell sniff.
Especially if you spend 500 and odd quid.
But the main thing is, do not get into that credit debt. Don't do that shit. The Bank of Dad repossess, what, your telly for a week. Just don't do the credit card. If you're a bell end with money, it's fine if you're going, I've got this money, I'm a bell end. Oh, that's fine. Jizz your money, that's fine. As soon as you're going to anyone who gives you a nice shiny bit of plastic with a PIN code, like, oh, I'm not doing so good on money, could I have £5,000? They'll be like, yes. Those cons are evil.
Yeah.
Oh, don't do
it. So what
it.
You're saying is, Anthony, keep doing what you're doing, kid. Take the money off your dad.
And who'd you get your vodka Red Bull off? Because it sounds like good shit.
Yeah, could Anthony get in touch with us for the Have a Weird Christmas party, please? We might do that up in Newcastle.
We're stockpiling.
You can be our supplier.
Oh, I need some refreshments. That's the that is that Red Bull stuff. The if you drink too much Red Bull, did I tell you about? Because I don't drink coffee, and since I've had a kid, I've started drinking an energy drink in the morning, a zero sugar, like a low sugar one. And people are like, "Oh, it's so bad for you." I love it when people do that, and they're like, "Oh, it's so bad for you," and you're like eating sweets or you're like, "Oh, sorry, thanks for that." Like you're so healthy yourself. I get it. It's probably not great, but I'm not drinking like loads of them, but because I don't drink coffee, and daddy needs that kick, I'm waking up, my child's a fucking peanut.
Do you not like coffee?
I just don't like coffee, right? I've never liked coffee. So
I haven't had coffee for a month because I've been on like a teeth whitening course thing where you can't have stainy stuff. I'm craving coffee. I get to have it tomorrow.
Yeah, you could, but it's caffeine is seriously addictive as well, isn't it? If you just drink loads of coffee and then have a break, you get like headaches and shit.
Been awful.
Like, smackhead.
Been awful. I've got white teeth and I can't enjoy it because I'm just
tired and grumpy.
Yeah.
Look at his beautiful teeth while he's sleeping. I was in a McCall. So what I do is I'll like buy just like three or four and then stick them in the fridge and I'll have one. And sometimes I don't finish them. I just like it. I know it's not good, but I don't booze anymore. So fuck it. I'm not drinking VS. I'm going for it. That's what I do. As in some random McColl's, and I was buying three or four. I think I was buying three, and this guy out of nowhere, just behind me, I'd say he was about your age, just went, "Mate, you need to change your ways. That shit will kill you." I, you know, when you're in a queue, you're almost like, I almost doubled and like, does he work here? What I felt like, I was like, I sort of looked at the guy behind the counter, who's like looking at me, going, "I don't know what's happening either." He went, "I'm serious, mate. My brother drop dead, had a heart attack, 27 years old. He was drinking that shit all day." I was like, "Right, you know, seriously, you need to change your ways." It was so confident, it was so northern, and it was so loud. I nearly like gave the monster back, and I was like, "The fuck off!" I was like, "Right, yeah, no, well, I need to. I'm such a pussy." I was like, "Yeah, I bought them, but I was like, I do need to cut down."
To be fair to Graham, who's written in, you know, you were saying the sun might not be on. The old sniffle diffle. I did go to the hospital once because I had heart palpitations, and it was because the night before I'd been drinking pints of vodka Red Bull. So it can happen, but it's the money issue for me. If he's spending 500 quid on a night out, vodka Red Bulls are 2 quid. That means he's having 250 vodka Red Bulls. Even if he's out for 10 hours, that's 25 an hour.
Or he's doing the Tony Montana thing of like, "Oh, sir, I lost my letter," like buying everyone booze and. Like, what's he doing? What?
He's buying everyone booze and then lending money off his dad to get through the week. You reckon?
Oh, mate.
You're giving him too much rope here. He's on the powder. But, look, Anthony, we don't think you should have savings at 22. In fact, I wouldn't trust you if you did.
We're on your side on that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust...
I mean, long term, sort yourself. It's fine.
Yeah.
But that happens naturally anyway, that stuff.
Yeah.
Even if you're not now, eventually you'd be like, "Oh, I need to sort it out."
Yeah. I've only done that this year. I'm about to turn 28, so...
How much is he paying his dad in rent? If he's not paying rent, and he's doing 500 quid a weekend, and then coming whimpering on a Monday, have a word, mate. You've got to have a word.
Yeah, you shouldn't have savings, lad, but you need to be getting yourself through the week, innit? And just leave 100 quid in the house. Take all your money out of the bank, give it 100 quid to your dad and go, "Give me that on Monday."
Just treat your dad like a bank.
Yeah.
Like, "Dad, I've been paid 500, 200. Do not let me have this till Songs of Praises finish on a Sunday.
If I haven't heard the Heartbeat theme tune, I can't touch that, though.
Just literally watching Antiques Roadshow going, "God, Dad, give me my money. How much do you think this is worth? Is it worth about 200 quid?
Oh, you're getting an erection every time he hears fucking green grass shout. Graffito!
Ski Sunday comes on, he's like, ping.
We don't think you should have savings, lad, but you do need to sort yourself out there and
stop balling,
lay
mate.
Off the fucking
lay off the Red Bull. That crystallized monster.
We think you're going to be all right, lad, but you do need to kick up your ass there. So, Graham, we're on your side. Apart from the savings thing, no 22-year-old should have savings. The mates won't like them.
Yeah. Man, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed talking about other people's lives with my own. Like, what right have I got to talk about people messing around with money as he sits in his fucking podcast studio that is like, you've spent thousands of pounds on all of this stuff and my daughter's bedroom hasn't even been decorated yet.
Yeah, come on, Anthony, sort yourself out.
When are we painting Netta's room? Shut up!
Oh, I think we're almost ready to conclude episode one here.
Mate, it's been better. I've loved that. I love talking about other people's shiz. That's suited me.
So, just before... So, there'll be a sort of interlude there, and then we'll go. Right, so that concludes episode one. It's been fun, hasn't it, lad?
Concludes. That is the conclusion of the
podcast.
That is
the conclusion. It has concluded.
I've really enjoyed that, mate. I think we got it. Surprisingly in depth in what we genuinely thought about stuff early on.
Yeah,
I thought we were just going to be dicking around trying to make each other laugh. I was like, God, this is quite a fucking,
I think, a good little
coherent, interesting conversation for
funny
us
and intriguing. I would just like to plug at the minute. I'm about to go on my nationwide tour. If you want to go to adamrowe.co.uk/shows, there's tickets still available for all shows apart from Chester, which sold. Oh, we've added a late show in Chester, so there's a handful of tickets left for that. There's a few left for South Shields, which is next week. That's when it kicks off. South Shields on Saturday the 18th.
Where
January.
Do they go?
Where do who go?
To get the tickets.
adamrowe.co.uk/shows. And the other plug to do is we want more submissions. As we said earlier, this is the Have a Word podcast. We want submissions for us to have a word with people. However, there's two other features we're going to be bringing in sort of gradually over the next few episodes. Do you want to tell them about them?
Yeah, we want to do Twat of the Week, which I think could be something you sent in or something we found ourselves. I really want to do Twat of the Week because I want to get the musical bed underneath it from Blankety Blank.
Twat of the Week.
Twat of the Week. Twat of the Week. I'll be gutted if that feature doesn't kick on, because in my head I just can't wait to be played.
Even if no one likes that, we can just do it for us.
We can just pick the worst of the Have a Words and be like, oh mate, you're having it.
You're Twat of the Week.
And you want to do School Rumours.
I want to do School Rumours and nicknames. So I'm always quite nostalgic for school, and I think the two funniest things about school was there was always some bullshit rumours that went round. About people that you look back now and know weren't true, but at the time you fully believe.
Convinced.
I've got a couple for next week that are doozies, so right. Make sure you tune in for that. And also, some of the nicknames in schools. I want to know what nicknames people have, weird nicknames, and why that was their nickname. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I got called Thigh Eye because I've got a lazy eye, and they took a muscle out of my legs and put it in my eyelids, and bullies love a rhyme. So I was Thigh Eye for 5 years.
If they'd just taken the muscle from somewhere else.
Just elbow island.
Calf eye. Oh, it just doesn't work. Where are we going to take this muscle from, Doctor? I think I know.
So we want your school rumours, your school nickname submissions, your Twat of the Week submissions, and more importantly than anything is your Have a Word submissions. If there's someone you want us to have a word with, or someone who's fucking you around, or maybe it's you, maybe you're going through a tough time, tell us what's been going on and we'll have a word with you and get them all in. We have a word pod on Twitter, Instagram. We'll be on Facebook as of this week, YouTube as of this week, and we are haveawordpod@gmail.com. My name is Adam Rowe. You can follow me, Adam Rowe Comedy on Twitter, Adam Rowe Comedian on Instagram, and Adam Rowe on Facebook. Where can they find you, Lid?
Have a listen to my other podcast, The Hat Radio Pod, which is on all of the shebangs like Apple Podcasts and whatnot. So that's my other podcast, and this one's going to be weekly. Tell a friend, subscribe. Let's get this kicking off properly. We want this to kick on because we enjoy doing it. And I reckon there isn't Northern comedy is badly represented in podcasting, and I'd like it to kick on just because there's so much London-centric stuff. We listen to so much American stuff. I really want this to kick on. A way we thought of helping spread the word a little bit was if you have a band or you know you've got like a family member or a mate in a band, and we want to have their favourite tune or their current tune or whatever they've released recently to play us out on the podcast. So if they send in a submission,
that, yeah.
Yeah, that's how we're going to club. We're not going to do it this one because we haven't sorted it out. But yeah, just if you know anyone in a band, let's play that. Instead of us having some random bit of music to play us out, every week we'll do a different band submission. We'll play them out. They'll
share
their stuff.
So that's a band, solo artist, anyone,
any musician.
If you've recorded your own tunes and you want us to give you a little plug, send them in. Send us all your social medias. We'll give you the heavy plug on the end of an episode.
Yeah, that's how we're going to get it out.
Yeah, that's how we want
to
do
it. I'm excited for this, man. Thanks for listening to the very first one. Thanks for being in from the ground floor.
Yeah, and share it for us if you're enjoying this. Do us a tweet, do us a Facebook post, put it in your group chats. That's the best way to spread this stuff is, you know, everyone's in a WhatsApp group chat now. Lash the Apple Podcast link in there, which, you know, that'll be absolutely everywhere. You'll be able to copy and paste that dead easy and put it in your WhatsApp chats and go, lads, do us a favour, give this a listen. It's dead funny. Get it subscribed and leave us a 5-star review. Don't be a 4-star prick and be like, well, it's very good, but, you know, there's a slight sound issue with Adam's. Don't do that. 5 stars, you pricks.
In fact, we don't want 2, 3s, or 4s, but I love the ones.
We want to be actually
an African comedian, and I found it very offensive.
No, I'm joking. Just the 5s.
Shouts to Deliso.
Right, lads.
5s only. Thank you.
That was the first ever Have a Word.
It was.
See you next week.